bringing you key insights, tips, and advice from the brightest minds in the Canadian franchise industry, this is the Franchise Canada Chats podcast. I'm Gary Prenevost, your host of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast, where we take you into the world of franchising. Season 7 of Franchise Canada Chats will feature interviews with franchisees, franchisors, and industry leaders sharing key insights and expert advice on navigating challenges on their path to success. Franchise Canada Chats are brought to you by Frannet, Canada's franchise matchmaking experts. At Frannet, we help you to build your optimum business model. Then we introduce you to well-suited franchise options. Then, most importantly, we coach you through all aspects of your research so that you can arrive at an informed and defensible yes or no decision. Hello, everyone in Franchise Canada land. This is Gary Prenevost, president of Frannet of Southern Ontario and author of the just-released book, The Unstoppable Franchisee. The CFA's Franchisee of the Year Award recognizes top-performing franchisees who build strong connections with their communities. Today's guests are Annalisa Sila of Scholars Education and Brad Wheeler of Two Men in a Truck Canada. Brad and Annalisa, welcome to Franchise Canada Chats. So, Annalisa, I'm going to go with you first. Before you bought the franchise, how did you research different brands and ultimately find the right fit?
Thank you, Gary. Yes, I think that, you know, it was a whirlwind. I am a teacher by trade. And so when I left Teachers College, I knew that I wanted to work with children, but I also loved many different aspects of it. So meeting kids in the community, speaking with parents, mentoring other teachers. And so I knew that I was looking for something that would be in the teaching field. But I was also looking for something that would align being a teacher, align with my methodologies and curriculum. And I wanted to partner with someone who could share that same passion with teaching as I did. And so when I connected with Scholars, I was happy to see that they too were aligned with their methodologies and shared the passion that we had to meet with students, collaborate with parents, and build that strong relationship within our communities.
Okay, and how long have you been a franchisee now?
Yes. So I opened my first center in March 2020. So I guess it's been 3 years now.
Just at the beginning of that wonderful little thing called the pandemic.
Yeah, that was, I have a lot of gray hair to show for that, but it was a lot of fun, yes.
And you know, what a great time, with all the challenges, you know, the franchisors had to really look at how to do things differently. So to be able to come out of that difficult period and apply that to the business now, it's some opportunity for some exciting growth ahead.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, and Brad, how about yourself? You know, how did you research different brands and find Two Men in a Truck?
Thank you, Gary. My background is in marketing, customer service, as well as restoration. I always worked for other people, and I knew that working for myself, I'd have a place that I could call home. So that started me on the franchise, you know, path. And, you know, I wanted a place where I could come every day, embody what I believe. And then when I found Two Men in a Truck, I knew it was the franchise for me. Our mission statement, core values, I knew I could build a core team, as well as people who could live out, you know, and believe in our values and who would evidently represent me very well. So okay. I researched many different franchise systems. I wasn't, you know, nailed down to the moving industry. I looked at the restoration, you know, I looked at the, you know, the box stores, I looked at the restaurants, but meeting with Two Men in a Truck, you know, meeting John, my initial contact, yeah, I knew what they stood for. I knew they were a massive piece to the moving puzzle. So I knew there was a start of success there. And all the values they have are parallel to mine. So I knew it was a great fit.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now, that may be the second part of the question. And Annalisa, you get to think about this while I get Brad to answer. Brad, you know, what the way that you just responded, those are components of a standout brand. But what are some of the other components that you saw in Two Men and a Truck that made it the standout brand for you?
For me, mainly it was the franchise model. They really take care of their franchisees. You know, they want you to be number one. They show you that. They show a lot of physical appearances. It's not just emails back and forth with a phone call. A lot of sit downs. They show you that they want to be one with you. You know, there is a key to success in going out there and doing your own thing. But I think that hands-on approach for myself was huge. You know, and having those people that can relate to you, and you know, the what I found that was different than other franchises is that a lot of them were about strictly the numbers, and Two Men in a Truck, you know, shows a lot of different levels in the experience. And our end goal is to, you know, build in the brand, have a successful company, have a successful business model, you know, as well as be that strong point in an industry which is needed. And that kind of geared me towards the Two Men franchise and the way the market goes, and the fact that the moving is something that's going to be for a lifetime. It's not going to be taken over by, you know, automation or the self-driving cars yet, but you know, it's the longevity of this kind of franchise.
Need-based, in-demand, regardless of what the economy is doing. And I know from my own work with John Pretty and team, they really strive to build the culture, but they also look at the business model, helping the franchisees adopt a business model and focus on key performance indicators, KPIs, and unit economics, and help all the franchisees really focus on operations. So those are the different elements that I'm aware of with Two Men in a Truck. And Elisa, how about from your perspective, and what made Scholars a standout brand for you?
Yes, it's a great question. I mean, it's a family, which is what I like. Going in this, I knew that I liked to teach, but there's so much more to owning a business. And so having, you know, you get so caught up on working in the business, and it was really great, and it continues to be great to have people that are helping you work on your business, helping you with professional development, giving you feedback, providing assessments, even just different networking for how you can continue to improve, being innovative. I think, you know, remaining current on different things that are going on, especially with curriculum, is so important to make sure that you're providing that best service for your families and staying competitive as well.
Okay. It's with both your answers, the commonality there, there's part culture, part the systems and the support, and you know, franchisors want to do all that, but sometimes franchisees don't adopt the systems and processes right off the bat, and that's often in the early days. So I'm curious, what, when you were, obviously with what you just said, Annalisa, when you started, it was at the beginning of COVID, what were some of the challenges related to the operation of the business that you faced earlier on? And then how did you overcome them? And Brad will be asking you that in a moment.
Well, there were a few hurdles when I had first started. We'll call them hurdles right now. The world changed overnight, and our business model changed overnight. We were a business with brick and mortar. Our students would come into the center, and you know, the next day it was, you have to operate online. So having that support, I mean, if I were on my own, I don't even know what I would do. Kind of would have just left my hands up and walked away. But having that support, they came out and they created, you know, our online classroom. And it was a seamless transition for our students and for our teachers to kind of just jump online to provide that support for our families and to have that continuity, considering everything that was going on, and knowing that we had that support back around us to back us, really helped us set up for success. And they were listening, whatever we needed, they were listening to the field, and having, you know, other franchisees as well. What are you experiencing right now? You know, I'm having this problem. What can we do to solve this? everything changed, and having that network of support is ultimately what came up, let us kind of come out on the other end.
So one of the challenges I hear from almost every business owner now, Frank, doesn't matter what category, is finding good talent, good labor. And so I'm curious, from the when you started in the heat of the pandemic to now, what have you seen? Has it gotten easier, more difficult, about the same?
It's funny that you asked that. The very first teacher that I hired is still a teacher today. I think that, and this kind of goes with everything, listening what they're looking for, especially for us, it's more of a part-time position. So there tends to be higher turnover, but just there's more to it than just a job, and helping them see the passion that you have in this environment, and listening to what they need and helping them, you know, continue to feel like they have a community here of support. It keeps it positive and it keeps them here.
You know, in my book, I talk about servant leadership, and you just described an element of that. A lot of franchisees and independent business owners treat their employees as resources to be consumed, for lack of a better term, or exploited, whereas servant leaders treat their employees as their most important repeat customer. So it sounds like you've got an element of that. So well done on that. Okay, Brad, how about yourself? I didn't ask you at the beginning, how long have you been in business with Two Men in a Truck?
We're certainly in our seventh year.
Seventh year. Okay, so you've seen...
So we started 2017.
So you had the buildup before, and then the hump in the middle, and now back to normal again. So what were your early challenges?
I mean, the biggest challenge we had was finding real estate in the congested market back almost 7 years ago. It was difficult to find exactly what we need. We didn't need just, you know, one small office. You know, we need to park 26-foot moving trucks. You know, we need to have a steady, you know, we have parking for 10, 20, 30 employees. So we needed a niche kind of location. So for us, I mean, going back to the franchise system, we had them to lean on. You know, they have a whole onboarding team, which helped with setting up the business and finding a location. Once, you know, I didn't know coming in what we needed. So for them to have a checklist on exactly what we needed to fulfill our needs was huge. And then over time, we were lucky enough to expand our location here to accommodate more trucks. You know, it got us into the storage business. We were able to provide much more services to our customers. So coming up, we were huge. You know, our gains were big going up into COVID. Once we hit COVID, you know, obviously everybody knows the world almost stopped. We were deemed, you know, a necessary employment agency. So, you know, we were able to keep fulfilling our moves with a lot of different safety protocols and sanitization. But, you know, we saw our sales plummet at the time. And we were pretty much, you know, just hanging on through COVID. And then at that point, you know, you see it shows you your resilience and, you know, how you're able to take this huge struggle, you know, work with it, you know, fulfill the best of who you have, who would stay on board, you know. And once things were able to, you know, dissipate, you know, we're back up to our gains, you know, we're, you know, steady increases. But it's
during that time, how much did you interact with the other franchisees and share and with the franchisor to try to figure stuff out?
We are, you know, weekly meetings to find out exactly what others were doing, how we were coping with it, staffing situations, you know, safety protocols. I mean, with us, it's the trust of our customers even letting us into their home during this pandemic. You know, it was a struggle just to, you know, to let them know that they're in good hands. We're taking every protocol possible for their safety, for their parents' safety, you know, even for everyone around us' safety. So we were able to you know, figure out the policies and procedures, and we kind of use that in uniform with the whole brand. So, you know, we had letters going out to our customers before the move, and that was each one of our franchisees giving their piece of, you know, their input, and then we drafted a letter for everyone. So the franchise was involved in the entire process.
So this is something for our listeners in the audience who are not yet franchisees and considering franchise ownership. What both Annalisa and Brad are talking about is one of the greatest advantages of being part of a franchise system, and it's often underestimated, which is the collective brain trust of all the franchisees, because you're often going to get far more support from the sharing of the lessons, of the opportunities, of the wins, of some of the mistakes that you make, so that you help each other not to duplicate those mistakes. But in these critical events, like what the pandemic was, the accelerated learning that non-franchised businesses simply don't have that intellectual resource pool, and they had to figure everything out on their way. So that's just, if you're thinking about franchise ownership, you really want to evaluate the strength of the culture of the franchisor to franchisee and franchisee-franchisee relationship, but also that experience base for you to draw upon. So anything else to add, like in terms of the early, for either of you, the early challenges that you faced or coming out now, how that's evolving into new challenges?
I mean, from the day we started until now, you're always going to have the labor struggles. Worse before, because I was coming into an industry where I had never been the actual, you know, franchisee. So I was always, you know, a manager or an account coordinator. So it's just, the first thing was just being able to, you know, have that trust in the employees to go out and, you know, put your uniform on and, you know, be part of a brand and know that they're going to show well for you. They're going to know that they're wearing, you know, our colors, and they're going to live up to our values. They're going to treat all our customers with respect. You know, if they're going in, stopping off somewhere else with our uniform on, they're still going to know that and still respect, you know, respect their brand. But the labor struggle will always, you know, no matter what industry you're in, Annalisa, I'm sure it's the same thing. You know, Gary, it's that element of, you know, there's still an element of surprise with it. There's still a human is never 100% controlled like a machine would be. The biggest thing is, you know, you have to manage employees. As much as you manage employees, you have to manage tendencies, you have to manage attitudes, you have to manage, you know, you have to manage your full environment inside the business. So it's some of those variables that, you know, make it an ongoing, I wouldn't say struggle, but it's difficult. It's more difficult than pushing a button and knowing exactly what you're getting every single second of the day.
Because when they come in the door, they don't know what they don't know, and they've got to get trained and coached. And one of the interviewees, a top franchisee with one of the personal service brands that I interviewed, they go through a ton of staff, and they said, Gary, we don't have the luxury of a lot of screening. We have to take people, and what an opportunity to find a diamond in the rough and help them become so much more than they thought they could be. So that's the great element of business ownership, is you get to develop people, right? And Annalisa, over to you. Thoughts, additional thoughts to that question.
Yes. Well, I mean, I would love if there was a machine that you could just clone yourself, because that would just make everything easier. But until then, I think that the bottom line is, when, you know, you're meeting new staff and you're having people join your community, you want to make sure that they share that like-minded, you know, values and passion for your system, because ultimately, yes, that's your brand, but they're carrying your brand. And there's always going to be something. And that's kind of what makes, you know, business ownership fun. There's always going to be something. But ultimately, it's nice to have a business model to follow from our franchisors. But ultimately, you know what your community needs. You're in the field to be able to be innovative and change and modify it as you see fit for what works for your system. And so just relying on that and making sure that, I mean, if you're positive, it helps make sure that your staff also can do the same, can mimic that from you.
Well, I'm gonna have you segue to the next question with continuing on that theme. How would you describe your experience as a franchisee compared to before you were one? Like, because a lot of our listeners are, what's it like on the other side?
Yes, yes. And it's a great question because I did. I, you know, being a teacher, I've kind of seen everything from the, you know, from one space to the next. And my experience has been, you know, incredibly rewarding and fulfilling. It's gratifying seeing in our field in particular, being a part of the growth of the children, both academically and personally, seeing them gain the confidence, achieve their goals. That is something I always joke and say, no matter how hard our day begins, we always end on a positive note because our kids come in after school. So we always end the day in such a positive way. But there's, you know, building relationships with parents, with staff, with other businesses in our communities has been both professional growth, but also personal, because there's things that you've experienced that you would have never had the opportunity to experience before, unless you've been networking in this capacity. I think I've been given, being a franchisee, I've given been given the opportunity to blend, you know, my passion for education with the rewards of owning a business, and to have the flexibility to navigate all of that, but using our scholars network to get there.
Okay, so I'm gonna key in on the flexibility component. Yeah. I like all that you've said, because, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for over 30 years, and I've helped a lot of people become entrepreneurs. But the flexibility, people think when they start a business, oh great, I have a lot of flexibility because I get to call the shots. So what would you tell them?
It's funny because the first thing I say when I say flexibility, people automatically say, so when do you work? And I would like to say that I have flexible hours to work all of the time. I choose to do it all of the time. But flexibility just means you have the opportunity to make your business what it can be. There's no ceiling. You can make it as successfully as it can be, but you also have the power to not make it successful. So when I think of flexibility, it's not being able to make my own hours or hire my own people. It's the flexibility to know that I can make this community what I want it to be.
So it's the operational flexibility, the flexibility of decision making, go as hard and as strong as you want or coast.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. Brad? You know, same questions to you. Describe your experience as a franchisee and compared to before you were one.
Yeah, being a franchisee is not easy. Not always easy. It's not smooth sailing. However, you are your own boss. When you see things slipping, you make decisions on how to get everything back on track. You know, it's also very rewarding to see your dreams being played out in real life. You know, I've always envisioned owning my own company. You know, you dream going through school, like I'm going to have my own business, my own views. You know, seeing all that come to fruition, you can't beat it. You know, you see all your hard work, the hard work of your team members, you know, it's all worth it. I mean, I walk down the street or go to a store or something with my uniform on, and it's amazing to see someone say, hey, you're two men in a truck. And they think, you know, they think I'm two men in a truck. And that's what I love about the whole system too. It's such a huge company, but everybody thinks, you know, they feel like I'm the guy, I'm the one guy. So just seeing people stop you, you know, say you're doing such great things. You move my cousin, you move my aunt, you move my mother. That's the stuff you take to heart. Like, it's so rewarding to know that, you know, I was the reason that those things happened. So,
no,
that's a reason.
When Adam Contos was CEO of Remax globally, when I interviewed him, he talked about how his top franchisees, you just said what he said, just differently. He said top franchisees make the RE/MAX brand their own, and they live the brand. It's not like, hey, I'm pushing RE/MAX everywhere. You're not pushing two men in a truck. But what you talked about earlier on, those values, the alignment of the purpose and the execution, you are helping the community enjoy the benefits of a well-run operation that is your two men in a truck franchise.
Enjoying the episode so far? Franchise Canada also has bi-monthly newsletters full of franchise opportunities. With Franchise Canada e-news, new content gets sent directly to your inbox, and you can keep up to date on the newest episodes of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast that you're listening to right now. Plus, you get a free subscription to Franchise Canada magazine. Join the 19,000 fellow franchisees, industry leaders, and aspiring entrepreneurs by subscribing at franchisecanada.online. Now, back to the episode.
That, for me, I don't know if I work with many different charities at the moment. I don't know if I would have been able to, you know, provide as much back to my community without having my own company. Because I have, if I was working for someone, I wouldn't have all to say. You know, you'd have to pick and choose your battles. But now I can work with women's shelters, youth shelters, you know, bringing refugees, you know, and setting them up in a place, you know, when someone comes with nothing. So, you know, that's so rewarding, being able to help those people and know I can do it. No matter what, I can move the world to help them out, rather than maybe I'm somewhere working for someone where they're putting a ceiling on me where I can't do that stuff.
So some of those flexibility choices around operations that Annalisa was just talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, a quick short answer to this next question, but I'd like to hear both of you, is what do you enjoy most about having the franchise? Annalisa?
Enjoy most. I think a lot of it is just the flexibility to build that network of support for people in my community. And that's, you know, what it's all about. We are servicing our community's needs. So having that flexibility to, you know, build that network with professionals, with staff, with parents, whatever it is, to have that network for people to go for support was the ultimate goal. And so having the flexibility to create that has been something that's most important for me.
Thank you. And Brad, for you.
For me, it's coming from a simple thought. It's help thy neighbor. So I got into the business to help relieve people's stress. So the fact that I can be a part of, you know, this, you know, huge organization, but I can focus all my attention on helping my local community. So I can have, you know, the successes of a large brand, but I can focus it and drive it into helping and being there for my local community and helping them through stressful times, you know, taking that one stress away in life.
Love the both of the answers there, because it's really living your purpose, isn't it? How has winning Franchisee of the Year honors changed your experience? Brad, stay with you.
Honestly, winning was such a blessing. I didn't go with any expectations. And then to hear your name, it's, again, like we said before, it's that, you know, that time where it's real. You know, that's real life. You know, as I said, I knew I was nominated for it, but, you know, the honor and such a, I mean, everybody knows CFA. You know, it's the biggest thing there is for us, right? I mean, outside of our two men in a truck, like, everybody knows franchises, Canadian Franchise Association. So, you know, being able to accept that trophy, take it home, really display it and, you know, be there with my family, brought it into the office. You know, we had a big party. You know, we did a cake, we did celebration, you know, because it's not just me. I get Franchisee of the Year is me, but, you know, nothing could be done without my team. So I thought the biggest thing, you know, I was the happiest I could bring it back to them, show them what they were able to, you know, what they were able to get, like because without them, I'm nothing. You know, we're in an industry where it's large, you know, it's a service industry. So we need everyone to succeed. So that was my biggest thing. You know, family was proud of me. The amount of calls and emails that came in from our head office, they knew right away. You know, it was amazing to celebrate with John and the whole head office crew that was there and invited me. You know, that was huge. It kind of made me have that feeling of like I made it. You know, you always step like you want to go up into the big leagues, you're playing minor league, you know, whatever it is forever, and then you finally get that call that you've made it. So that was kind of the feeling when we won it.
Very
you know,
cool.
The two men in the truck system, you know, the fact that they nominated me was an honor in itself. The fact that they thought that I should be up for such an amazing award was huge. And then the fact of the CFA was, you know, and the people chose me, that was, you know, as I said, a blessing, nothing I could have ever imagined.
So I'm going to ask you a tough question, which might be a little unfair, but I'm going to ask it anyways. You've talked a lot about today about how you built and led your company. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about today that why you feel that you found that level of success, that being the exceptional top franchisee that you were recognized for?
That's a really tough question.
That's why I ask it. Annalisa, it's not fair to you because Annalisa gets the thing.
yeah, that's not fair. You know, it's just building a great team. And it all starts with finding, you always need to find that person that's going to stand with you. Because Annalisa, you would know, Gary, you would know, you can't do everything by yourself. We can't be everywhere at once. So finding that person, you know, the one that you can rely on, you know, the one that can hold down the office when you're not there, you know, when you go, you know, do sales calls or whatever it might be, you always need that glue that holds it all together. So it's finding the right support staff. And I think when you find that, success is much easier. And if you treat your people well, if like for me, I treat them like family, you're going to keep them longer and they're going to not just work for you. They're going to want to be there for you. We always say you have to work to make money. You have to make money to live, but I want someone to come in with a purpose. And I think if you build that, and you, like Annalisa said before, if you get that, if you instill that positivity on everyone, you start to weed out all the negativity. If the first thing is a smile in the morning, you have nothing. They can't not smile back at you.
You know, it's about helping them. You get to know them well enough even before you hire them and help them see how they can achieve their purpose and their goals through working with you and in your organization. Annalisa. So back to the question that you had time to think about. There's two questions. So the first one is, how has winning the Franchisee of the Year honors changed your experience?
Yes. Well, for one, it's the networking abilities, right? I would have never had the ability to, you know, I've learned so much from you, Brad, just in this, you know, call already. So being able to network with like-minded individuals has been huge. And we've learned a lot from it. Aside from the increased visibility and the increase, you know, it's enhanced our reputation and our brand. Similar to what Brad said, I think above all, it's the motivation and pride. It's validated our hard work, dedication, and commitment with, you know, my team as we sit here within the center, but also, you know, from head office and everything that they've done and, you know, our entire Scholars family. You know, we've been working hard to create those our results that matter in our communities. And this really just validated, you know, everything that we've been working so hard to do. And I'm excited to see what's next.
And the second part of the question is, why do you feel that you found this level of success? But we haven't talked about, because you both talked about some great things. I can see why you're so successful, but anything in addition to what we've already talked about?
I think you're going to have to ask Matt and Ted. They were the ones that nominated. No, I think it comes down to staying committed, keeping your eye on your mission. Days can be long and it is not easy. Doing this takes a lot of time and effort and ingenuity. And you have to be prepared to work hard and be patient. But I think if you stay committed, you're more likely to kind of stay on your path towards what you envisioned with your business.
And it's about the clarity, having that long-term clarity, so that when you hit the short-term challenges, and you will, and every franchisee does, and this is for our audience, it is hard work. It's not always easy and it's not always fun. But if you stay focused on your goals and you follow the systems and processes that the franchisor that you bought into, then you do that, you have a very strong likelihood of achieving the level of success you want. So, but if you don't know if you don't have goals, any road will get you there, right? So it's so important to have the alignment of the goals, the vision, the purpose, all that alignment with the franchisor, but with yourselves as well. What's next for your franchise? Any developments that you can look forward to? Growth, multiple units, anything like that, or anything different? And Elisa, stay with you.
Well, I mean, what's really exciting about the Scholars brand is that it is growing rapidly. And they're, you know, constantly staying current and changing to what our society needs. And so I'm really excited to see, you know, on a smaller level, different changes with our curriculum to continue to provide the service that we need for our clients, integrating different technologies into our programs, but also just meeting different franchisees that are helping us grow into the Scholars family that we are.
Okay, thank you. And Brad, for yourself, what's next?
We're continuing to grow. Yeah, our market's going to get back on pace. Houses will start selling like they used to. You know, we're looking at, you know, building our fleet. You know, building our fleet means more trucks on the road, more visibility, you know, more business. We're getting in, you know, we started slowly getting into the junk side, but now we're focusing a great deal and, you know, having a truck dedicated to junk. We're focusing on, you know, gaining big contracts, you know, so now it's getting ourselves out there and building. Now with the pandemic and everything that we've seen in the market, now we can take everything that we've seen in the past 3 years, you know, and really focus and research and do our, you know, our internal search and market, you know, where we can, you know, where we can see growth, where we can see, you know, new possibilities. Because, you know, if you keep an open mind to everything, then, you know, the options are endless. So that's, we're going to keep going that way. And the volume will just, you know, push us higher into the market, more visibility. And with more trucks, obviously more volume means, you know, we make more money.
There's also some horizontal integration in terms of same customer base, different services. So you're expanding with the resource team that you have and the operational team. Interesting. Winding down, folks, a couple of last questions. I think a really important question for our listeners who are prospective franchisees, what advice would you give to others who are at that stage of trying to figure out what the right business is now and should I buy a franchise or not? What advice would you give them? Stay with you, Brad.
Do it. Take the leap. Be willing to make mistakes. Be willing to fail. But just learn how to get back up. Learn how to fight hard. You know, your franchise system can do so much for you. Again, like we were saying before, a franchise system is some, you know, it's a group that can be relied upon. So, yes, the struggle might be internal for you, but everyone's gone through it in your system. So there's an easy way to rebound rather than being on your own and, you know, falling down and not having the support to get you back up. So being that franchise system, it's almost like a safety cushion. So, really you have to want it though. And when you want it, like the two-man truck franchise system, it offers you a place to be your own boss, help customers. You're on different journeys in life. And really, the franchise system is a phenomenal system. And there's so many franchises out there, you'll find the right one for you. So if you find what you like, then you narrow your search down to those franchises. But as I said, just you do it, take the leap. You're already jumping into something that's already successful. So it's not as scary as just, closing your eyes and opening up your own company that has no backing. You have, years of experience from maybe it's 2 years, maybe it's 25 years. But again, you have that network, and at least you could probably, back me on this. When you have a question, there's always an answer for you. You're never left alone in the dark. And, being in business for a while, going into the pandemic, we had those struggles. Our head office is amazing. They always were there to answer that question. So something I might have researched for 5 days, I got my answer in 2 hours, and I could move on to the next thing. So as I said, it's, if you want to be your own boss, franchising is the best way to do it.
Great advice. Annalisa, how about yourself?
I agree. I mean, you go with a franchise so you can stick with what you know and then rely on people to support you in areas that you're not as strong in. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can focus on things that you like to do and have that support network. I would say definitely do your research because it's a partnership. You are partnering with someone and you want to make sure that you believe in their system and they believe in you. Because you're working so closely together, I think that that is really important. For our field, I wanted to make sure that I was finding, a franchise that would share that passion, because then we would both work together and see similar values. The other thing I would say is make sure that you are becoming a member of your community. Your franchise will work hard for you, but you know what your community needs. Understand what your clients need. It'll help you, being a part of their community will help you build stronger relationships, and they're more meaningful. My other big one is prioritize quality, making sure that, for us, my students are happy, my parents are happy, because they become your best marketing advocates for what you do. And it leads to your long-term success. They know that you are always there. And then just stay committed. It's not always easy. And one day is very, very different from the next. But if you stay, keep your eye on the prize, you will get there. You just have to kind of block out all the noise in between.
And I wish it was as easy to do as it says to say, right?
Me too. Me too.
There's a great book called The Four Disciplines of Execution by Covey and McChesney, and talk about the whirlwind. So any business owner should read that book. I think it's one of the best business books ever written. I'm gonna bring a couple of things together that you both said. Brad, you said you got to want it, and then you both talked about executing the skills. For the listeners out there thinking about buying a franchise, yes, you have to want it. You have to be clear about what it is that you want, but you also have to want to show up to do the work. Annalisa talked about the doing the work, the skills that you want. It's not, you have to like the product or service. You have to believe in the product or service, but you don't have to do it. You have to love the work it takes to put the product or service in your customer's hands. That's marketing, that's sales, it is operations, it's hiring, sometimes it's firing. It's the things that not everybody's good at everything. So what are you really good at and love to do? And find a franchise that the core functions of that business are tied closer to what you love to do. And the things you're not good at or don't like to do, hopefully the franchisor doesn't have a lot of that, or if they do have a lot of that, that the franchisor has good systems and processes to bridge your learning. Because when ultimately, if you buy a franchise compared to starting a business from scratch, It is a time compression strategy because of the systems and processes for the first 2 years of the business until you get to proficiency. Then it's a growth acceleration strategy because of the leveraging of the brain trust and all the things you've heard today, so that you can prioritize your focus on the right things at the right time with the support of the franchisee. You know, for the listeners, we're all biased. On my two guests and myself, we all love franchising, and it's one of the best business models ever invented. But it is something that it is a lot of work and is not to be taken lightly. So do your research. And that's certainly the help that my company can help you with. Last question. And I like asking this. Annalisa, what have I not asked you that you would ask you in relation to what our audience needs to hear about this journey called franchising?
I don't know, Gary. I think you've asked all really great questions today. I think that's a hard one. Question that I would, if I would ask another franchisee, I would just say, what makes you happy? Because ultimately, whatever you do, and this is what I say to my students as well, whatever you do, you have to be happy, because that's what makes you want to work harder. So a question that I would ask other franchisees is just, what makes you happy? What makes you wake up in the morning with a smile on your face, gives you the energy to wake up and kind of continue throughout your day?
Okay, thank you. Brad, what would you ask you that I haven't asked you?
I guess when you ask someone about anything, what are you in it for? What are you in it for, a short term? Are you in it for a long term? It'd be the same as, you know, what you were looking for, like in the stock market, right? You're looking for something that's going to hit the jackpot in year one. Or are you going to stick with it and see it grow, see it build? And that's what, you know, you'd ask someone, what is your purpose for taking the, you know, for doing this venture?
And then how can this venture, this franchise, help you achieve that purpose? Is it really the other part of that? I want to come back to what you said, Annalisa, about happiness. Sean Acor, he's written several books on happiness, and I love his definition, because it is, happiness is the joy you feel as you progress towards your potential. And isn't that the life of a franchisee? It's not always easy. We're having some setbacks as we're making progress, but we're learning from the lessons. The great franchisees learn from their lessons. So thank you for both being guests today. I really enjoyed the discussion. Just quickly, if people in your community are looking for your service, where do they reach you? Annalisa?
Yes, if they have any questions or anything at all, they can reach me, my email address. So it's annalisa@scholarsed.com.
Okay, thank you. And Brad?
If anyone wanted to reach out to us for moving, packing, junk services, whatever you need, phone number 416-503-2636 or email is info3034@TWOMEN.ca. So info3034@2men.ca. We're more than happy to help out.
Thank you very much, folks. It's been an honor speaking with you. Congratulations again on becoming the franchisee of the year. So all the very best and continued success.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. Congratulations again, Annalisa.
You as well, Brad.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Franchise Canada Chats. Catch up on every episode of Franchise Canada Chats on SoundCloud, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio media. For more franchising resources, including how-to articles, expert advice, franchise success stories, and franchise opportunities, visit franchisecanada.online. Don't forget to subscribe to Franchise Canada eNews while you're there. You can also learn more about franchising at cfa.ca and connect with specific franchise opportunities at lookforafranchise.ca.